Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Hey, God's got a word, always has a word. But today he has a word that I believe is for you and me. And even just what happened in this service, God was just confirming. Ask for the rain in the season of the rain. See, when it rains, if you're outside, you're going to run, right? You want to get some shelter. It was raining in this place. And even me at times, I'm like, come on, let's keep moving with the service. What's happening? But God puts the right people in the right place at the right time. He put Prem up the front, not me, because I'd have been running. But we can easily be like, this is happening with time. But God, it's raining. Like Candace said, don't put a raincoat on. Just receive it. And God is speaking to us about time. Time. He's giving you time. He's giving me time. That's one of the greatest gifts God's given us. But we've got to steward it well. How are you stewarding your time? Oh, man, I got to get to lunch today. And yeah, it's good to get to lunch. But you've come to church. And if you want to encounter God, like Jacob wanted God to bless him, and God wasn't blessing him. He's like, I'm not going to leave you until you bless me. He wrestled with God. He wrestled with an angel until the brother got injured in his hip. Then he had a limp to remember how God blessed him. We've got to steward our time well. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. So we're in Revival Month. We've had Revival Conference. We've had Revival Conference 1. Next week there's Revival Conference 2. Tickets are sold out. But man, if you want to be sneaky. Just get in there. Oh man, if you want to get blessed, just push through. Prem's doing the registrations. Just push through. He's on registrations. Man, you're going to have another 100 people come to conference too. But I encourage you to just register on time, you know, most times, Georgia time. Let's get into this message. The guy hasn't even started. The title for today is Resting in Revival. Resting in Revival. So, at the start of the year, January 1, I think it was, New Year's Day, God put on our hearts, Candace and I, on the hearts of our church to talk about Selah. Selah. So that was the title of the message on the 1st of January. Selah, however you want to say it. So what that word means is pause. It's stop. It's an interval, it's a break in between things, it's an interlude. Selah. That's what we talked about at the start of the year. And that's what God has on our hearts. That's on God's hearts for us to Selah. If you missed that, check out the podcast, it's there online. But that word is there 74 times in the Bible. 71 times in the Psalms and 3 times in the book of Habakkuk. Selah. Pause. Rest. Interlude. Most people are so busy. How you doing? Busy. How you doing, man? Busy. Busy. It's a way of saying I'm good. How you doing? Busy. When did being good become busy? People are just so busy. You and I are so busy making things happen. And a lot of it is all good stuff. But you know that this world, as it's been developing for years and years, things are just getting crazier and crazier. When we talked about Selah at the start of the year, we talked about Selah is an art. It's an art of slowing down. It's an art of pausing, of resting. But that this art has been stolen. It's been taken away from us. All the gadgets, all the tablets, all the movies, things that are just so easily accessible. It's like, how did I get on my phone? Like, I'm already on my phone again. Like, what happened? I'm just end up on my phone in Instagram, like automatically my mind's just been rewired, right? Because we just have access to everything, that there's no time to sila. So competition for our attention has stolen this art away, which is what God created us for, to be part of our rhythm, to pause. There's a story that Stephen Covey, the writer of the book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, talks about. And he says, there's a man cutting through this massive log, wooden log. He's cutting it with a saw. He is going for it. He's going for it. He is just going for it. Anyone going for it? You are just going for it. He's just going. He's cutting. And someone comes and says, bro, why don't you just stop and sharpen your saw? He's like, stop. If I stop, I can't get through this thing in time. I won't get through this log on time. But it's like, dude, if you stop and sharpen it, you actually get through it a lot quicker. It's like the more things we have to do, the more things on your plate, the faster your life is getting, the noisier your life is getting, it's actually the more you need to slow down, the more you need to take a break. So we talked about in Silla about being intentional to rest in 2023. How have you gone? It's June. It's not just the end of the financial year. It's actually almost 6 months into the year. Have you been intentional to take pauses, to switch off? Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Have you been intentional in resting this year? See, my first point this morning is God rested, why can't we? God rested, why can't we? So in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. God rested. God rested. Why can't we? God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. It says in the beginning, whilst the earth was formless, whilst there was nothing on this earth and the Spirit was hovering, God spoke. Said, let there be light. And there was light. Each day he created. Let there be the waters. Let there be day and night. Let there be a separation between the sky and the waters. He's created, and each day he would say, and he saw that it was good. But day seven comes. It doesn't say, oh, God saw that it was good. It doesn't say, oh, God created. He actually rested from all his work. He was finished. He was finished. So what did God do? He leans back and he celebrates. He reflects on his work. And he says, this day is a holy day. It's a holy day. And it's for you and I to keep holy. Then the people of Israel come along, his people. He has promises for them. He gives them a law. And he says, remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath. God celebrated creation. We get to celebrate him and rest in him. If God rested, how important is it for you and I to rest? Let's go to Exodus 20, 10 to 11. If you're tired of flipping your Bible already, you're just warming up. But we've got verses on the screen too. First, this is the Ten Commandments, right? So in this commandment, it says, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it, you shall not do any, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. He made it holy. God rested. Why can't you? You see, Sabbath, Shabbat, it means to stop. It means to cease. Stop. Cease. You see, this day, as God instituted this day as a holy day for the people, His people, it was to be a day of rest. What they were supposed to do on this day was actually remember what God had done. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, 12 to 15, God speaks through Moses to His people, saying, hey, you've been in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. I delivered you out of there. I parted the Red Sea for you. On this day, the Sabbath day, remember how I saved you, how I delivered you. It was a day for them to remember what God had saved them from. This day was so important, the Sabbath, that if they did not observe it, if they did not keep it, if they did any work, what would happen to them? Can I get the next verse up? Exodus. Don't worry about that one. Let's go to Exodus 35, verse 2. That one there is just saying, hey, remember the Sabbath because I saved you. But in Exodus 35, verse 2, it says, anyone who does any work on the Sabbath will die. They would be put to death. Hey, you're working on the Sabbath? That's what would happen today if we were observing it in the same way. It's crazy. But that's how, it sounds crazy. It wasn't crazy then. But that's how important rest is. And that's what God was trying to show them, that, hey, I'm giving you the Sabbath, not for me, as in God, saying the Sabbath is not for me. It's for your benefit. It's for your benefit because you need that rest so that you don't forget where you came from. You don't forget who your God is. But you remember what He's taken you out of. So rest from your work. He's like, I finished my work. I've created. Why do you keep trying to work? I've done the work. I finished my work. Just chill out. You want to just control everything? Just take time to rest and actually rest in the God who's created, who's done everything. And it will bring them back into that perspective of, hey, I'm not God. He is God. He's where I get my strength from. See, Sabbath was an actual 24-hour period. 24 hours. My Zimbabwean just came out. It was 24 hours, I'm telling you right now. It was a 24-hour period from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. They were to stop their work for 24. Imagine that. Not working for 24 hours, not thinking about work for 24 hours. How good would that be? Be amazing. Sabbath rest. Time to stop. Time to contemplate. Rest. Rest. Rest in revival. So it was a 24-hour period. But what's happened since then is that Jesus came. Sabbath was actually pointing to Jesus, the one who we're to rest in, the one who's done the work. It is finished. Jesus said, it is finished. He did the work on the cross. He paid for your sin and my sin on the cross. He conquered death. So it was actually pointing to Jesus. Because in Mark 2, 27 to 28, this is what it says. Mark 2, 27 to 28. Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus and his disciples are just walking through the fields, going to heal someone or something. Who knows what they were doing? They had a lot to do. But the brothers were hungry. The sisters with them were hungry. They were all hungry. So they're walking through the grain fields and they think, hey, let's just pick some of the grain as we walk. And they're eating. But the Jewish leaders, they're like, oh, Jesus, we got him now. He thinks he's the Son of God, right? Jesus, the law says that you should not harvest on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to be harvesting on the Sabbath. Jesus says, hey, slow down. Remember David? What did David do? He went into the house of God and he ate the bread of the presence because he was hungry. You see, these guys were trying to twist the law. They were trying to twist the word. These guys weren't harvesting in the fields. They were walking by. There was actually provisions in the law that people could pick from the edges. Okay? But they're now trying to say that these guys were being greedy and harvesting. That law was there to stop the greedy, the guys that want to keep working on the Sabbath. The farmers, they weren't farmers. It was for the farmers not to go farming on the Sabbath. All Jesus and his guys were doing was just eating whilst they were going. So Jesus says, hey, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord even at the Sabbath. So what's happened since the Old Testament when it comes to the Sabbath is that the Sabbath was a Saturday. It was the last day of the week when you would rest and reflect on God's goodness. You would enjoy creation, rest from your work. But when Jesus died on the cross for my sin and your sin, he was killed on Friday, Good Friday. On the Sabbath, he was dead. On the Sabbath, he was dead in the tomb. And then on Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, he comes back to life. He defeats the grave. He defeats death. So what happened is since then we celebrate the day of the Lord on Sunday. It went from setting aside Sabbath Saturday to now worshiping the Lord on Sunday. And we all get caught up when it's a Saturday, it's a Sunday. Does not matter. God wants you and I to rest. But the early church went from observing Sabbath on a Saturday to saying the Lord's Day is Sunday. And then that's when they would have the Sabbath rest. Because now they're celebrating what Jesus did on Resurrection Sunday. So much so that 50 days or something later, the Holy Spirit descended on Pentecost Sunday. That's why we come to church on Sunday. That's why, if you really want to get all technical about Sabbath, when is it? Sunday. But that doesn't matter. Why? Because we have freedom in Jesus Christ. We need to rest. If God rested, why can't we? Why can't we? So a new pattern of worship came through Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. For most of us, we're like, no, Sunday is not the first. This is the first day of the week. That's why we're committed to the Lord. So don't come out on Monday and go, oh, it's Monday. No. Sunday, we come, we celebrate, we get filled up again, and we go into Monday like, got the swag on, I am filled, I'm ready to be a witness. God rested. Why can't we? See, the emphasis shifted from the celebration of deliverance out of slavery from Egypt to celebrating the rest that we have from God through the resurrection of Jesus, who delivers us from sin and the grave. Jesus was a substance that fulfilled the symbol of Sabbath. Jesus was a substance that fulfilled the symbol of Sabbath. Sabbath was pointing to Him. The Sabbath was a shadow of things. A shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Colossians 2, 16 to 17 says, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath." Verse 17, "These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." Jesus is the one who gives us rest. We find Sabbath rest in Him. So it doesn't matter what day you Sabbath. What matters is that you rest in God. We see Sabbath in the New Testament. Hebrews 4 verse 4, what does it say? "For He has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works." If God rested, why can't we? Y'all looking at the time. I'm just getting started, Candy. Hebrews 4 verse 10. What did God rest from? He rested from all His work. He rested from all His work. So if we've given our lives to God, why can't we rest? Why can't we rest in Him? Hebrews 4 verse 10. We're to rest like Him. "For whoever has entered God's rest," that's you and I. Man, we were in God's rest and worship, weren't we? But we can have a posture like that throughout our day to day. "For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his." If God rested, why can't we? What are you to rest from? Paid work? You are to rest from paid work and unpaid work. Anything that's work, anything that you find is effort, you need to rest from it. You need time to rest. Man, I'll be trying to Sabbath. Next thing I'm like, oh, but I want to read about the prophetic. I want to read about, it's like, for me, that's work. So Steve, just chill. Just rest. You need to find the things that fill you up, that are not work, not doing the washing, not doing the ironing. That is work. You got to rest from work. Make time to rest from work. Someone likes that. No, it's just whilst you Sabbath, bro. Like, seriously, rest. Who needs to hear this today? Seriously, we all need rest. We can just get way too busy. Way too busy. If God's saying rest, it's because He's trying to get something through to us. We're just go, 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 go. Oh, I'm working for you, Lord. Go, 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 go. Where are you getting what you're doing from? Just from the noise, from what you think as you go. God's like, I've actually finished my work. And as you stop, you can eat from my work. And then that's what you can outwork as you work. But you've actually got to stop and rest in Him. Yeah, you get into the Word. I'm not saying don't get into the Word when you stop. I'm just saying whatever work is for you, we're encouraged to stop and to rest. What can this look like for you? What does rest look like for you? What does Sabbath look like for you? You know, you could be single. Sometimes I'm like, I wish I was single because I would have so much time. That's a lie. We've all got the same amount of time. And I talk to people that are single. They're like, man, I am so busy. I am so tired. Because there's so much to be done, and that can be done. But just because it can be done doesn't mean it's a good thing or it's a God thing. So it's going to look different for everyone, but you got to work out what it is for you. You've got to prioritize God daily. We keep hearing about devotion, daily devotion, starting your day with God. Lord, what do you want? He'll show you what he wants. And then you walk in that. You know, married couples, you need time apart from one another too. That's rest. So make room for one another to rest. Make sure your partner gets some time for themselves. Make sure you get time for yourself. God just wants time with you. God wants you to just hang out by yourself too. It's like, oh, we got kids. There's no time. I'm like doing this with the kids and I'll put them to bed. And then after that, I want to put the dishes away. But then I've got to make lunch for tomorrow. The next thing, it's 1 a.m. You can stop. There's nothing that's so important that you can't stop. Because if you don't stop, you're going to end up on your back, burnt out, and you can't do anything, and you're no good for anyone. So we need that sila. We need to be able to stop. But we can always find a reason not to stop. We can always find a reason not to stop. But this is actually God's design for us to rest. He wants us to rest. He wants us to rest in him. Why do we fear stopping? Why don't we want to stop? It's like, man, I can't stop. I just got to keep going. We want to be in control. We want to be in control. We think it's all on us. You are not God. I am not God. He's the one who's in control. Stopping actually reminds us that, hey, I can't do it by myself. I need others. I need God. The others God's going to bring in my life. The others are going to come in my life are through God. So we'll always find an excuse not to stop. In Exodus chapter 16, 25 to 30, we've got the Israelites. They're wandering in the desert. They've got no food. God's leading them. They're complaining about going back to Egypt. They want to go back to being slaves. God's their provider. So he says, I'll give you manna and quail. Manna was like these wafers and quail was like chicken and bird. But it will drop down every day from the sky. God was providing for them. It's like every day I'll give you manna and quail. But only pick up enough for the day. Only pick up enough for the day. Only pick up enough for the day. If you pick up too much, do you know what happened if they picked up too much? They would wake up the next morning, there'll be maggots all over it. Imagine maggots all over your chicken, my fried chicken with maggots on it, stuff rotting. That's what happened because they weren't trusting in God. They were wanting to do it in their own strength. So God showed them. Then he says, on the seventh day, you're not to go out and pick up any manna and any quail because on the sixth day, I want you to collect double the portion, enough for the next day. Let's read what happened. So Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. So he's saying on the Sabbath, just eat, don't go on the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. On the seventh day, when it is a Sabbath, there would be none. See, if we work so hard that we can't stop, what we do amounts to nothing. The things that we're chasing, they don't mean nothing for eternity. It's like going out and finding nothing. But we just get stuck in the rut of wanting more. See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. See, they would find nothing if they went out. God is our provider. Not only does he provide material things, not only does he provide spiritually, but he provides rest. And as we rest in him, he works the rest out. As you rest in him, he works out the rest. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. We can't stop because we want to just, well, I've got a dream. I've got a call from the Lord. I've got to make it happen. But it's like, no, put him first. Listen to what he has said, and everything else will fall into place as he wills. Oh, man, but I haven't finished my work. I've got so much. Pastor Steve, all you do is have coffees with people during the week. What are you talking about? I'm like working really hard. I'm doing long hours. Do you know what my boss is going to say? I can't get my work done. Sabbath? Oh, that's a dream. How much do you trust God? If he's asking you to rest, he will soften your boss's heart. He will. If your boss is not going to let you have a day off, maybe you need to move on. Because next thing you see, your boss who works so hard, things ain't working out too well for them, because we all need rest. We all need time to think. Time to think. There's so much going on, we don't even have time to think. We think we're thinking, but we're not thinking. We've just got so many different thoughts. I'm talking about focused thinking. So if you're able to rest, you can actually have focused thinking. Bill Gates has a think week. He will have a think week. He's done it for years. Just time to focus. Get away from the hustle and bustle. If the world gets it, how much more should we? The world gets that you need rest. People talk about retreats. So we need this rest. See, your work will never be done. God's work is done. Jesus' work is done. But your work will never be done. That's why we need to rest in the one who's finished the work. See, because Jesus finished the work, he died, he shed his blood, he rose again, so that we can come into relationship with him, so that we can rest in him. See, because that's why, because of him and because of resting in him, that's why we have revival. That's why we're in revival. My second point is revival is here. Revival is here. That's how we have revival. That's how we're in revival, because Jesus has finished his work. Psalm 85 verse 6 says, "Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you?" Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Revival is an unplanned, unprecedented, historic intervention of the Holy Spirit in power over an extended period of time in an extended geographical area. Revival, Mike Bickle says this, unplanned, unprecedented, historic intervention of the Holy Spirit in power over an extended period of time in a large geographic area. We are seeing revival in Yuma Church. We're seeing revival in Yuma Church globally. And Pastor Corey, a few years ago, God showed him a picture of a 20-year revival. This was before COVID. And we've been seeing it just build and build and build. We've had Pastor Steve McCracken come and speak over Yuma South. You will be a beacon of hope in a 20K radius. That's an extended, large geographic area. And we're seeing people coming from far to experience God. We're seeing people coming from close by come and experience God. We're seeing people getting saved, people getting baptized. We are in revival, but there is more. But we need to rest in revival. We can't just be go, 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 go. Revival is when God's heart is made manifest on earth. God's heart made manifest on earth. We want to see healing. We want to see signs and wonders. We want more souls saved. It's a season where God openly manifests the rule and reign of his Son by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and release of apostolic preaching. This is where we are, guys. This is where we're at. Revival is here. But it's not just an address. We have the address, but actually revival, you're carrying it, I'm carrying it, we're all carrying it because we have Jesus in us. Jesus is the reviver. He's the reviver. He's the revivalist. He is revival. So revival is here. Jesus is here. But we've got to give him full access to our lives so that he can go, hey, there's no revival in that area of your life. And sometimes it takes us stopping and resting for him to point that out. He's the one that brings life. He brings life. This is what revival is, bringing life. Ha. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So revival is here, James. But this is the thing. If we don't rest, he won't manifest. If we don't rest, he will not manifest. See, he's here. Revival is here. But we actually need him to rest on us. We need to breathe him in. We need to take him in. You actually need to stop to take him in. You can take him in as you go. That's fine. That's cool. But if you take him in when you stop, then when you're going, you can go at his pace. When you're going, you know when he wants you to stop. You know when he wants you to share a word with someone on the street. See, to manifest, we don't manifest. You don't manifest. The Spirit manifests through you. But you've actually got to receive the reviver, the revival Spirit. We carry it, but we need a fresh feeling every day. But you actually need to slow down. And for some of us in here, you are just way too busy. You are just waiting for church on Sunday. Where God's like, man, I want to rest on you on Wednesday. I want to rest in you before you go to bed. Don't just wait for Sunday, because you're going to walk in there and say, what is going on in here? Because it could be unfamiliar. But when you let him rest on you during the week, when you come here, you're like, oh, he is here. He is here. These people are not crazy. Yes, they are crazy, but they're not crazy. So to manifest is to show, is a clear display, is to show evidence, is a display. So when we rest in him, when he rests upon us, when the Spirit comes into your heart, when he fills you up, what's going to come out? If the revival is coming in, what's going to come out? It's going to be revival. So we rest in revival. We breathe in revival. We rest in revival. We breathe his Spirit in, and that's what's going to come out. We breathe him in. When you stop, you're like, rest in revival. You just stop and you breathe him in, and he's what comes out. People are like, what is wrong with this guy? But it's because they're seeing Jesus come out. They're not even saying what's wrong. They're saying what's wrong to start off with, because they want to ask you a question. What's happening? Next thing, you're giving them words of knowledge. Next thing, you're praying for their arms, because you've been resting in revival. So if you don't rest, he won't manifest. It's not that he doesn't want to, but he's waiting for you. That's what Sabbath rest is all about, taking time out to let him in. When there is no abiding, there is no producing. When there is no abiding, there is no producing. John 15 verse 5 says, I am the vine. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. We're connected to him. We're connected to him. We can be connected to him. He says, I am the vine, in John 15 verse 5. You are the branches. Whoever remains in me, whoever stays in me, whoever abides in me, he or she will bear much fruit. We're the branches. If we want to see fruit, we've got to abide in him. We've got to stay in him. That's how we're going to see the fruit, his fruit. It says after that, apart from me, you can do nothing. See, we can run around doing this, doing that. We can even run around praying for people, but not resting in him, not abiding in him. We can just say the words, but they'll have no power, Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. We can fall so in love with prayer and the things of God that we forget the actual source. So where there is no abiding, there is no producing. If we don't rest, He won't manifest. You see, when we rest, you know, journaling. Think about journaling. Get some paper, get a book, get a pen. Start to write things down. What God has done in your life. God has done so much in your lives. You wouldn't be here today if God hadn't done so much in your lives. Write it down. Write it down. Journal. Buy a journal. I just love Shaz. She's like, I heard you talking about journaling, and me and Daniel bought a journal, and now we love journaling. There's something about journaling. You see, journaling, it's like a storage device. A journal is like a storage device that backs up your brain's faulty hard drive. A journal is like a storage device that backs up your brain's faulty hard drive. Just think about a hard drive. Storage device. A journal. You see what happens with our heads? We easily forget. That's why we need to journal it. We forget what God has done. But when you journal, you're storing what God has done. Because when you forget what God has done, you forget what He's able to do. He's able to do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. So it's like, God's done this, God's done that. You think you're going to remember it? He wants to do so much, He's done so much. You forget it. And then when tough times come, when whatever situations come, you've got nothing to look back at. This happened to the Israelites. They forgot where they came from. They wanted to go back because they forgot what God had done. So we got to do things like journaling so we don't forget what God has done. When's the last time you just took some time out to sit and think? Just rest. I'm sure today you're getting a lot of time to do that right now. God's speaking a lot of things to you. But I just challenge you, take time in your week. Take time in your month to think, to focus on Him. Build rest into your life. Solitude in your life. Build it into your schedule. If you don't build it in, it's not going to happen. So Sabbath is a great rhythm to have. No one's going to say, do it on this day, do it on that day. Talk to God about it. Because we go, work, 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 rest. Work, 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 rest. But God wants us to go, Sabbath, work. Sabbath, work, rest, work, rest, work. He wants you to be resting in Him all the time. Great to have a certain day and all that. For me, in my stage of life with what's happening, I get about 3 hours on a Monday where that's my time. That's where I'm at the moment. But next year, Zach is going to school. I'll get more time because I won't be at home with him all, you know, in that way. It's going to be great. But you can have Sabbath daily, just a couple of hours here. Whatever it is, God will show you. But like I said before, the faster and noisier your life gets, the more you need to build rest into your life. How about sleep? Anyone asleep here yet? How about sleep? We need sleep. We need sleep. God's created us to be a people that can sleep. The enemy tries to take our sleep away. The busyness tries to take our sleep away. Fear of losing control takes that away from us. The noise, whatever we let in. But God wants you to have good sleep. Are you intentional about what time you go to sleep? Are you intentional about that? Are you intentional about what time you wake up? This is the whole thing about stewarding time. This is the gift you've been given. Oh, I'm so tired. I was up till late watching this and that. There's a time for that. But how are you stewarding your sleep? See, I read a few years back in Bruce Hill's book that the more hours of sleep you get before midnight, the better it is for your mental health, the better it is for your physical strength, fatigue. Hey, imagine getting more hours before midnight of sleep. Don't just imagine it, do it. Have a bedtime routine where you just switch off. This is for someone. You need restoration of sleep. You're like, God, help me. I can't sleep in the night. Oh, I'm being attacked. What were you watching before you went to sleep? How much were you playing on the phone right before you went, oh, okay, I'll put it down. For some, you need to leave your phone outside your room. You need to buy a manual, physical, whatever it is, digital, analog, alarm clock. God wants you to have good sleep. Psalm 127 verse 2 says this. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. You know, for some of us, it's legit. I'm not here undermining anyone's hard work. God's giving you the ability to work. God's giving you the gift, the wisdom, the talent for your work. But when you start not being able to go to sleep for so long because you're working so hard on projects and whatever it is, you're trying to do it in your own strength. Because it says, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Some of us just need to receive that. Sleep. Why sleep? Because God actually speaks to us in our sleep. There's dreams he wants you to have in your sleep. He can't get your attention during the day. So he's like, go to sleep so I can show you what I want to do. Go to sleep so I can speak to you. He counsels us in our sleep. When you hit that pillow, just imagine like you're just sleeping on Jesus' chest. And let him whisper to you. Let him speak to you. We all need good sleep. Lord, give us good sleep. Oh, I can't sleep because there's so much going on. I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. We know Matthew chapter 6 talks about, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow's got worries of its own. Guys, I'm not God, you're not God, you are not God. So we need to let go and we need to rest in him. So point number 3 was, if you don't rest, he won't manifest. Where there is no abiding, there is no producing. My last point is rest in revival. We're to rest in revival. Rest in Jesus. See, we can't manufacture revival. We can't manufacture a move of God. We can't manufacture healing. We can't manufacture his presence. Doesn't matter how much we try, we just can't. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 says, it's not by might nor by power. Zechariah 4 verse 6, it's not by might. It's not by your works. It's not by your power. It's not by your strength. But it says, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So we need to rest in him, the reviver. See, last year, God clearly showed us as Numa South that our new normal is revival. That's our new normal. And here we are. We've seen more salvations in the last 5 months than Numa South has seen in any given year. Because we've been plowing. Pastor Don and Hannah were plowing. They were digging. And all of us have joined in and we've dug and we have dug and we have dug. We have redug the wells of revival. And we are a revival church. We're not just a church in revival. This is not going anywhere. But what I love is we come every week just expectant. We don't come here with methods, thinking, oh, what happened last week? We want to see the same thing. We just come here every Sunday and we go, God, what do you want to do? That's resting in revival. So we're in revival, but Sabbath is part of that. It's good to go to so many meetings, so many conferences, and I'm not here speaking against any of that. I love it. But I really felt God just really challenged me that on this very day, in between conferences, to talk about resting in revival. Because, man, I've been tired the last couple of days. But I got good sleep last night. I could have been up till 2 o'clock going, God, I want the perfect message. Lord, speak. He's like, you've already got it in you. I've taught you what to talk about. And I'll tell you some other stuff whilst you're up there. Just rest in me. So we rest in revival. See, most of us, we work for ourselves. Most of us, we work for ourselves. We work for our families. We work for our kids. It's good. And then we work for God. We work for God. We do work for Him. But then we rest away from God. We rest from Him. But He actually wants us to work with Him. Our work for Him is with Him, to partner with Him, and then to rest in Him. We don't need to rest away from Him. It's like, oh, I've just done too much God. I just need some me time. Your me time is with God. I've tried to have me time without God, and it just does not end up well. It just doesn't. But when I'm resting in my me time, in the sauna, as some of you guys know, next thing a guy's asking me questions, and half an hour later, dude gets saved. But I'm on my Sabbath. But it's because Jesus is just leading me, and I'm resting in Him. He does the work. I was on no day off. I didn't need to do anything. I'm just resting in Him. Usually you go try and share your faith with someone, they're just not interested. I just walk into the sauna, dude's asking me questions, and I tell him it's my day off. Oh, what do you do? You're a pastor. You can help me get rid of some evil spirits. And then we just started chatting and dude gets saved. That's resting in revival. Because God will just lead you where you need to go. When He told me to stop my swim earlier than I usually stop, He didn't go, hey, Steve, stop your swim. I just felt, man, I need to stop because I need to be here, there, while I'll go make some time for the spa and the sauna. I didn't end up getting in the spa. I ended up stuck with this guy who got saved. And that's like one of my biggest testimonies this year. Rest in revival. We're getting close to an end. Rest in Him and watch Him work out the rest of your life. Whatever issues you have in your marriage, whatever issues you have with your kids, whatever health issues you have, difficulties, frustrations, as you rest in Him, He'll work the rest out. But it's got to start with resting in Him. You see, Jesus would have had, I'm sure, a crazy life in terms of time. It would have been so intense, so much pressure, so many people calling out His name, so many people wanting His time. He could have been on the go all the time. But what did He do? He paused. He took time away to just be with His Father routinely, all the time. You read the Word, it tells you Jesus stopped. Jesus got up early. Mark 6:31 says this. Mark 6:31. Tim, are you resting? He's so good. Oh. Anyone got Mark 6:31? Want to read it out for me? It's pretty much Jesus saying to His disciples, come away with Me and rest because they've been going so hard. Who's got it?
And He said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat.
There you go. Jesus, Mark 6:31. He invites His disciples to come away with Him and rest. Rest and Sabbath. You guys have heard so much about Sabbath today. You're not going to forget it. It's going to be ringing in your ears. But rest and Sabbath will keep you in sync with God. See, Jesus said, I only do what I see My Father doing. Jesus only did what He would see His Father doing, but He would pause. He would take time out and be in the quiet place with His Father. We need to go deeper in the secret place. Do you have that secret place? This is not your secret place. God wants you to have a secret place, just you and Him. and he's going to show you what he's doing. So much that when you're on the go during the week, you just say, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing in this situation? He will show you. So as you rest, as you have a Sabbath in your week to week, in your day to day, you'll be in sync with the Father. As we come to a close now, there's an invitation. Let's all stand. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. See, this is how we keep in step with the Holy Spirit, by taking time to pause. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, come to me. This is Jesus saying, come to me. This is an invitation. It's an invitation. Let's all close our eyes for a moment. There's an invitation to come and rest. To come and rest in our Savior. To come and rest. It says, you who are heavy laden, come to me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, Sabbath was a command then, but today, after Jesus, it's become an invitation. It's an invitation to rest in Him. And I don't know here, I'm sure there's people that are feeling tired. You've been going hard. You've been stressed at work. And I just know God is inviting you to just come and rest in Him. Come and rest in Him. If you know today that this message has been speaking to you and that you need to instill a rhythm in your life of resting, of taking time to pause. Maybe you've tried and it hasn't worked. Maybe you haven't even thought about it, but you're just saying, Lord, I want to rest in Jesus. I want to rest in the finished work. If that's you today, I want you to take a posture of resting by coming up to the front and just standing or kneeling on this carpet where I am. And just between you and God, just start to ask Him, Lord, how do you want me to rest in you week to week, day by day, month to month? If that's you today, you know this message has spoken to you and you need to be someone who's found in that quiet place of Sabbath rest.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.